Okay, I'd like to call the July 7th meeting of the WPCA to order. We'll begin with a pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Commissioner Terry?
Here.
Commissioner Gladue?
Here.
Commissioner Maselli?
Here.
Commissioner Longton?
Here.
Commissioner Lathrop is absent.
We have a quorum. Are there any alterations to the agenda?
Yes. I would like to add an agenda item. I make a motion to discuss the notice of violation.
Okay. We can add that. Under new business?
Okay.
Okay. That'll be number one under new business.
Do I need a second on that?
Yes.
Second.
Okay. We need a second for that.
There's already a number one under new business. There'll be number two. Four.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Any other alterations to the agenda?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to, under item 1H, to add the mayor to the group of people going into executive session.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
I can't make the motion.
Oh. Yeah, that's right.
I would, someone please make the motion to add the mayor to be included in the executive session.
I make the motion to add the mayor to executive.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Any other alterations to the agenda? Hearing none, moving on to item E, motion to approve the direction the discussion minutes of May 5th, 2025 regular meeting. The June meeting was canceled. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Item F, communications regarding pertaining specifically to matters which concern the commission. Are there any communications to be shared?
I just want to add, this is a superintendent notice of violation, which we're going to discuss under new business.
Okay. Any other communications to be shared? Moving on to item G, remarks from the public regarding items on the agenda with a 3-minute limit. First call, remarks from the public. Second call, remarks from the public. Third call, remarks from the public. Hearing none, moving on to item H, to consider an act on a motion to enter into executive session for the purpose of discussing strategy and or negotiations with respect to the easement for Cook Drive Water Tower. Discussion is to include the members of the commission, Superintendent Dirk Albertson, Administrator Ron McDaniel, and the mayor. Is there a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. We will go into executive session. 25. We are out of executive session. No votes were taken. Moving on to item I, report from operations.
Derek.
This is Superintendent Albertson. June represents 6 months in a row where we had very good process. And we'll discuss last year's conditions as far as rain and hydraulic overload under the NOV discussion under new business. But one of the highlights for this year, the first 6 months, was a significant reduction in waste sludge volume. So we grow too many bugs, so we have to subtract them out of the process. And those are called waste-activated sludge. And then we thicken it to about 5 or 6%, and we reduced the number of trucks. So the first 6 months of this calendar year, we saved about $170,000 in trucking and disposal. So that's significant. That means two things. One, better process control, and two, the operators that are thickening the material are very much paying attention and taking the job very seriously. But overall, very good process for the first 6 months of this year. We had a much drier conditions for June than we did for May. June was the sixth driest month on record for the state of Connecticut. And when dry conditions exist, we have a much lower flow coming into the plant. We're still showing very high contaminant removals, much, 95% or greater for both the two main contaminants, BOD and TSS. That's it.
Questions for operations? Hearing none, thank you. Item J, report from administration. Ron?
I think that you've kind of heard most of my report in the executive session, but I will just add that the new sludge hauler started July 1st, and it's been it was kind of without interruption. They're doing fine, and without a blip. And nice equipment they actually have too. It's kind of nice, you know what I'm saying? We have a little problem with the septage receiving station. We're working on that problem, but our guys, to their credit, they're incredible fabricators and problem solvers, and made this great little screening system to accept the septage right into our wet well directly without having to go through the computer monitor flow meter, which is where the problem is. We're accounting for everything, and everything's good right now. So. Oh, and any other we have two action items that are on the agenda.
So. Questions for the administrator?
Did that student you guys kept talking about, did he graduate this past year?
He did.
He did.
Is there any plans of bringing him on?
He's working for us semi-full-time right now. He's putting in about 30 hours a week right now, and we're trying to get him up to speed to where we can actually bring him on to a full-time full-time position. But we'll run that through you guys first, because we didn't allocate the money in the budget for it first.
I was going to say, don't even have a spot for him, do we really?
Not a true spot, but there is a position that he would slip into in the hierarchy that we have. It'd be a shame to lose the kid. It really would.
Any other questions for the administrator? Yep. Moving on. Item K, report from the mayor. Mr. Mayor.
I just want to comment that having been privy to the situation with the water tank and the easements, I think I'm going to smoke here. Ron's done a good job in, one, just his patience alone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's a team effort, by the way. We bounce everything off each other every day.
Right, yes.
Oh, but I mean, I do have to compliment the administrator. I mean, he works the phones, man. He keeps a cooler head than me.
Not always easy.
Learned how to do that.
We talk each other down off the ledge all the time.
You can't believe what they said today.
Any questions for the mayor? Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Report from engineers, item L.
We do have a line item, as the administrator indicated, and we'll discuss that. One just key point is, on a monthly basis, we look at, we get a unique Norwich Public Utilities water bill for one station, Holly Hill, and then we have individual electrical bills for each of the pump stations. And these two bills allow us a critique of how that station is running. And so Ron, the administrator, and my desk, and we both scrutinize these, and if suddenly there's a power increase or a water usage increase, we know there's a problem at the station. So recently we had a number, probably three pump stations that had a sudden increase in power usage, and one station increase with the amount of water usage, and a credit to the mechanics, they responded in kind, and the next month you could see a rapid drop. I mean, in some cases, 87% drop in electrical usage. In the case of the water, it was probably 85% drop. So those kind of those metrics are very, very valuable. And compliments to the mechanics. They get it right on it, and they made a difference.
Questions for engineering?
What were the actual cause of the electrical? Was it a pump running all the time or something?
Yeah, that's what actually, in some cases, it's a check valve where the pump will pump, and then there's a valve that shuts after pumping to seal it so that the force main doesn't drain back into the wet well. And in one case, that's what was happening, was the seal from the check valve wasn't proper. So you're getting this slow leakage back into the wet well.
It pumps itself back up. And
yeah, it was just pumping,
Like a leaking toilet.
And then in another case, it was the impeller was the wrong, it was beat up. So it was inefficient. So in order to empty the wet well, it was working twice as hard as it really should have.
And one had a little rock in it, and it just, over time, just spun around in the volute and just blew it right out. Crazy stuff.
But usually it's energy, and or you'll get faults, like, too much, it'll be like a circuit breaker. You know, you draw too much current through the motor to run the pump. But mostly it starts with the energy expenditure.
Questions? Moving on to item M, old business. We have none. Item N, new business. Item 1, discussion regarding the notice of violation.
That's Superintendent Albertson. Real quick on the definition of what we're talking about. On the 17th of June, we received a notice of violation from the DEEP. Without forewarning. The date of the NOV is actually the 16th, and it regards poor effluent quality. Specifically, the NOV is asking us to correct the violations and address the items listed. I've been working with regulatory bodies for a long time in a lot of different states. I've never seen regulatory action like this without where some initial discussion. Even the DEP case officer who had done an inspection in May of this year was shocked that we actually got the NOV and that we didn't have any discussions with him prior to them issuing the NOV. Primarily, the NOV is related to last year during the wet spring when we lost control of the plant. We had the wettest spring on record in the state of Connecticut. March, one week in March, was the wettest week ever recorded in the state of Connecticut. One concern I had when I talked to other superintendents, there's 79 plants, 69 of them are applicable to this type of action. The 10 I spoke to all said, what, are we all gonna get NOVs? Because every plant was having this problem. They couldn't keep process. Because they had so much water coming into their plant. But regardless, it is reality. Last week, Thursday, I responded within the 30-day window of what we were going to do to correct the problem. We've already taken a big step. We had a groundwater problem up on Route 32. We separated that from our influent mains. So we reduced on... The primary math shows that we reduced our influent by 30%. And we have two other separations for groundwater or stormwater separation. One is at going to be at the Rand Whitney facility. It's part of their parking lot expansion. And another one is going to be at the casino. So that right there is going to show the state that we're reducing the amount of influent contribution that is occurring during rain events. So that's part of it. We also have changed our process a little bit in the plant to be able to accept and hold the rainwater more. But and proof's in the pudding, the first 6 months of this year, we haven't had any exceedances. So it is drier this spring. So it's clearly a problem related to significant storm events.
So the changes that were made to segregate things for the stormwater, combined with the changes in procedures, is that sufficient to cover the overage of water that we experienced last March?
I would say operationally, yes, because we've witnessed 6 months of good process. There was an immediate impact when we sealed off that vertical pipe. It was an 8-inch pipe that was basically underwater. And it was giving us between 300 to 500,000 gallons a day in the worst part of the day. So that being said, operationally, it's working. But the state told me on Thursday they were going to get back. Well, Wednesday they told me Thursday they would review the document and get back to me. I've yet to hear from them.
Okay, so in your opinion, if those things had been in place at the time of this of the storm, we would not have had the NOV?
I don't think we would have been in as bad a trouble. Yeah. I think literally the 69 plants that are subject to this kind of action all had plant problems. So
I got a question. Are we on item, what item are we on? Are we on one or two?
We put it as number one.
Numbered it one, but this is your NOV discussion that you asked for.
Oh, so I was looking at like the way the bid process, and I'm going, okay.
No, sorry.
No, we moved that to number two.
Oh,
and we made your NOV item
one. Okay, because I'm like, how did that relate to the, okay, the tank? I'm like, so just, okay.
Was there any fine?
There could be. If I didn't respond within 30 days, it's $25,000, I believe, per event per day. It's very, very expensive.
Well, how do they know how many days this goes on?
Do we report it?
What goes out every day?
Yeah, what there's a requirement with the state. If I go, I see evidence of a problem, or I actually quantitatively can define a problem, I have an hour to notify the state of Connecticut, one group, and then another within 2 hours I have to notify another group, and then I have to re-notify them within 5 days. And that type of notification, one, is appropriate, but two, it also strengthens the relationship and with the regulatory body because they know you're being truthful. But what I'm kind of confused about is I wasn't the only one that was reporting these problems.
Well, that's why did we get singled out? Because this happens to all the plants when you get a big rainstorm like this. They all end up dumping in.
Norwich.
When you don't, every plant's going to have an exceedance every now and then.
Right. So why did we get
singled
out? Do you
know if other plants got penalized like
Lottery.
We did?
Lottery.
No, I do know that some other plants are going to receive NOVs, but they're the gross violators, whereas we have a pretty good track record. So it is what it is. It's not an order. There's a thing called an order, which is a capital O. That wouldn't be good. That's when they come in and they tell you, you will do the following, and you will follow, you will dance to this schedule, and by the way, we're going to fine you. So it's not an order. So the key is to play along and say, which is, they're right. I mean, I shouldn't have these exceedances. It's one, professionally, it's embarrassing. But the other thing is we will make it better. And we have.
Well, listen, what would happen if we couldn't get this all straightened out? Could they come in and actually say, listen, you're going to have to increase this and build another tank over here and...
Yeah, they could come in and say, hey, you're...
They could. So we drafted a response. The response has been submitted to them. We're waiting to hear back on the adequacy of our response. The response technically has to come from the CEO of the town. So Derek drafted it, and the mayor signed off on it. It's been submitted. It's under review up at the DEP, and we're hopeful that they'll accept our, you know, where we're at. And if not, we're going to continue to work with them. I mean, as long as we're working with them,
I don't think we're going to be okay.
But... I have to add, though, the response these procedures we were already engaged in. We were already chasing this. We had already separated
Number
32. I mean, this thing was an 8-inch open pipe that was just, water was just, and we've known of other situations, and we're very aggressive with, you know, people in the field. I mean, they cleaned like 4,000 linear feet last week, and Cameron, you know, so they're out and about. It's the key is, like the administrator indicated, is we have to have that line of communication.
You got to show progress.
Yep, and we'll show the progress.
But you responded within the 30-day time frame.
I did.
Well within, yeah.
And I have documentation that they received, a formal receipt of my response to the NOV.
Okay.
If I remember, what, last year, the year before, you were out there chasing the groundwater coming in to try to get that down so that we had less water coming in.
Well, I felt bad for Ron. It was, he just started in February last year. And, like, everybody was in a bad mood and, you know, running around the plant. And I just kept telling him, I said, this is unprecedented. You know, we're getting 6-inch rain events or, you know, 7-inch rain events. I mean, it was just, and it was one after another. If it had been one and then 5 weeks or 5 days later, it would have been fine. But it would be these double tap storms that were just killing us. It was absolutely brutal. But like I said, wettest spring on record, March, I think the second week of March, wettest week in the history of Connecticut.
Okay, I got a couple questions.
I'm
concerned with, and this is why I brought it up, that we're not talking about. We believe that this rose to its level. It is due to Rand Whitney's application and denial to expand their loading permit to the plant. I speculate that our plant is being subject to excessive scrutiny due to their reapplication / appeal of the denial of the expanded permit. Where do we stand on that? I am worried about Rand Whitney. That's my concern.
And me too.
Because they need, I understand their permit expires pretty soon, correct?
They're actually in the process of increasing, trying to increase.
They want to increase because they want to expand.
Their initial discussions with us is that they would increase their BOD loading, but hydraulically, they wouldn't increase.
All right. So how are we going to help Rand Whitney get their?
It's funny you should say that. Kathy.
That's what I want to know. That's my concern.
Kathy Flugel sent me an email.
Excuse me, just one second. This notice of violation, does this freeze this?
I believe it would freeze it, and there's some discussion that. Some people feel that that's why this NOV was kind of issued in an unorthodox manner, was to put the kibosh on that permit, that
so
potential permit.
So I think we got to figure out how we're going to help Rand Whitney, because we certainly don't want them. We've been on the wrong side of those guys a few times, and it never works out well. And we want to keep them here because they're, what, second largest taxpayer in the town?
Yeah.
We certainly don't want them moving. And we've got an investment with them, so we need to figure out whether we have to go to Hartford, to the governor, or who we got to help to try to push Rand Whitney through before it gets to the point where it gets ugly.
I spoke to Kathy today. She's back from vacation, Kathy Flugel. And we're meeting with them tomorrow morning, the chief operator, senior operator, and myself. Just to get a lay of the land. Kind of went quiet for a while. We did meet with them on several occasions explaining these exceedances. I've always explained everything to them. I probably talk to Rand Whitney 3 times a week. It is in our interest to, within reason, be able to help them out.
Not within reason, with everything we got, Derek. Not within reason.
So no. let me back.
We need to keep them.
They haven't helped us ever. They've always hurt
us. They pay us taxes. They
hurt
their employees.
Not the taxes. They pay after what they sued us for.
Why did they sue us? Because we promised to give them water, which we didn't give them the correct water. When we didn't give them the correct water, we ruined their machinery and we ruined their inventory. They asked us to reimburse them. We said no, see you in court. We went to court and we lost. We had no grounds to stand on.
We never should have made the agreement in the first place. And if I'm correct.
So if I may, if I may.
If, a million years ago.
I'm sorry.
Well, I said we don't need to relitigate a deal made a million years ago.
Correct. Well, I agree with that 100%. So listen, that what's passed is passed. I will tell you this. First of all, that's pure speculation on our part that that's how this NOV even came to be. Okay? Mm-hmm. We don't know that that's the case. But we know that their permit is under review. So it's kind of, you know, kind of coincidental that their permit application is under review at the same time that we're getting these exceedances. Because if they're looking at them and they're saying, wait a minute, they want to put more into this plant and this plant's not able to do what it's got now.
Yeah.
That's why we figure that's what propagated that.
But isn't that taken into consideration like the heavy rain for that 1 month?
They should, and that's why we answered the question with the NOVs. So also, I mean, we're working very, very closely with Rand Whitney, and we're doing everything we can to accommodate what they want to do. We already agreed, the commission already agreed to raise the BOD load to be able to help, so they could even apply in the first place.
Okay. Right?
So we already passed that to do that for them. We want to partner with them. Listen, it's a three-legged stool, that plant, right? It's Rand Whitney, the tribe, and the town. And without one leg of that stool, the whole thing kind of gets, and we'll have more exceedances and we'll even be in worse shape. So we're working with them, and Kathy Flugbeil, who is there, I don't know exactly what her title is, but she's the one who we deal with on almost a daily basis, understands the chemistry and whatnot. She's the one who has to certify the loads to us and whatnot, what those are. She has come down to the plant a couple of times. We've gone through everything with her, so she understands things. There's still things with the, even the grant that we closed out still said that there should have been an anaerobic digester built at the plant, okay? How did the state didn't ever take that out of the grant, because we abandoned that project 12 years ago,
that was supposed to be built at Rand Whitney.
I understand that, but they abandoned that whole theory that was what we were going to do, but it's still in that grant. And the state came down to Rand Whitney and said, where's this anaerobic digester that we paid for?
$3 million.
Well, wait a minute. You already told us that we weren't going to do that in 2018 or whatever it was. And the state knew this, and they're still looking for a piece of equipment that they knew that never existed. So there's a lot of kind of moving parts there that are
kind of screwy. How long do you think it'll take to resolve this? Any idea?
Well, we're helping them work through the process. So they're reapplying for their permit. They have to get some of their ducks in a row. And listen, again, Kathy's going to come down tomorrow. We sit with our chief operator, and we go through what is the BOD load that we can handle that comes through the door. And again, as long as the hydraulic loading isn't going to kill us, because that was what was killing us with the NOV, the BOD we can handle. We've been able to handle. We restructured the deal on what the BOD and the TSS was going to be in the formula. Right.
So, even with this high BOD loading, on our worst days, we're still 96-97% removal. We're only supposed to be 85. So
we're sending them good water.
They're eating what we require to give them.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
And almost drinking sometimes water. when they pull water, I mean, sometimes to the point where none is going over the weir into the river. I mean, they're taking everything that we have.
Right.
So we're going to continue to work with them, and rest assured that we will continue to work with them.
Yeah. Okay.
We understand the importance of this at the time.
And then, bring up the pipe
project. I've been through the whole thing like you were. So.
Right. Yeah. The pipe project that we did a couple of years ago, that was $3 million plus. Mm-hmm. And we worked hand in hand with them. Both the discharge pipe and the return pipe were repaired. And the $4.5 million that we got from that anaerobic digester project money, all of it went into the plant to enhance its ability to treat their waste. That was the philosophy behind that. And I could show them project after project that we've done in-house and in the collection system to enhance our ability to treat their waste. So anytime we do anything, look over here. Or if we have a good month, like today we have a turbidity of 4, which is very, very low. I mean, the water's crystal clear. You know, I'll send her a picture. and just say, hey, you know, water's amazing today. We want that open door. We don't want to surprise them ever by just not answering the phone, or we have a problem and they're not notified of it. So,
you know what my concerns are? And it's a big one. If we cannot supply them with enough cleaning the water up, and we have to increase the size of our plant, you know what that's going to cost this town for what we get out of these people?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good deal. And what's this going to do? Is this water going to be more acidic they're sending down? Is this going to eat the line?
Actually,
the line
no.
Of
one of the things with the Rand-Whitney process, which is unusual, they take the recycled board, paperboard, and they put it into these hot baths, and then they add this material that makes the fibers explode. That material raises the alkalinity up and the pH. So when we have their influent coming in, it's very high in alkalinity.
So it's
which
actually
helps
not acid,
us.
It's alkaline.
It's yeah. alkaline. And that
this
is a
gonna
godsend.
Be higher, right?
Yeah, it's a godsend. To have that much alkalinity coming in the plant, other superintendents would kill for that. A lot of plants will actually have to add sodium hydroxide to boost their alkalinity. They send us enough that our pH and our alkalinity is perfect.
So this increased load they're going to bring down will actually make our plant run better.
It won't, I believe, based on the study, it won't adversely impact us if the hydraulic load doesn't send us into the mess we saw last spring.
And what about the alkalinity being higher? What's it going to do to the pipe?
That's good.
Going down?
It's good.
Well, the pipes are plastic now, so they're not. It's not affecting the metal.
Yeah, and they're worried about the temperature, but they also made a two-part, it's like a radiator, essentially, heat exchanger up there. So their temperatures haven't been crazy. So, you know, it's just a matter, you know, they just want to come down and have a conversation about, like, where we are. And
well, just we've had so much trouble with these people up here over the years, and how many times have we changed this pipeline coming down and all this other stuff and all these lawsuits because we didn't provide them and what they wanted. I just don't want to see it getting any worse.
That we didn't provide them what they wanted. We didn't provide them with what we signed a contract.
It was a little more complicated than all that. Let's not rehash that. I mean, that's a 20-year ago
there's
discussion.
There's a long history
yeah.
here. So we just have to be careful what we agree to do.
But as the administrator said, you know, that's all ancient history at this point. We need to move forward. You know, because there's nothing to be gained by relitigating the past.
Well, I'm not saying relitigating, just looking at what you have in the past, we should take and really look going forward before we decide any more deals with these guys. What we got, really look at it. Take a good look before we sit there and say, yeah, okay, sounds good.
I can honestly say, this is the administrator, that we have a very good mutual relationship. We're very good partners, and on behalf of the town, which we represent, we're going to continue to make sure that that happens, and we'll continue to make sure that the town is involved at every level. So,
and I can also say, as a freshman here, just learning a lot of what's been going on, it does appear that things are heading in a positive direction.
They're what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I can say that from as a freshman here, that I think that things are heading in a positive direction.
Good.
Yeah,
but if they want to expand, that's more revenue for the town.
It would be. Their bills are about $170,000 a month for sewer. Then we charge them for the recycled water, and then we charge them for any of the electricity they use. This boost that they're talking about, it probably would put the billing to be like $230,000 a month.
So it's significant.
It's significant.
Now, are they looking to do an expansion up there as far as equipment? And
mm-hmm. I don't know that
right,
for
right
sure.
Now, they're only doing a parking lot expansion right now.
That's it.
That's the only thing that's on the
books. But what I'm excited about is that parking lot represents a separation of stormwater getting into our sewers. So we're very happy about that.
Well, I just didn't know if they had any deals. Were they going to tax abatements, or they were looking for anything to you know, I know how these companies work a lot of times. So
that's not our job.
But I am meeting with them tomorrow morning, and if anything significant comes, I'll alert the chairman and everyone.
Further discussion about the NOV?
Nope.
Thank you. Moving on to item two, to consider an act on the bid waiver for repair of the SBR4 process tanks. Concrete. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second.
Discussion.
Do we have a price?
Yes. Did you want to read the whole motion?
Would you read the motion, please, Frank?
Oh.
Sure. Town of Montville Water and Sewer Commission hereby resolves to consider an act to waive the sealed bid requirements in Section 708A of the Town Charter for the repair of sequential batch reactor number 4 to include repair of concrete crackings on the exterior top of the sidewall as it is in the best interest of the town.
Okay.
I just, some background information. This is the superintendent. We had an engineering report completed on this tank because when I first got there, I noticed cracking and spalling on the exterior above water concrete. And the understanding from the engineering report is that it was an alkali reaction. That is, there's an alkali component within the concrete. When it gets wet, it swells and it causes the concrete to fracture and crack. Over the last 6.5 years, the spalling and the cracking, the depth of the cracking have increased in severity. So what we're looking for is a remedy of a cap, essentially, to prevent this, isolate this bad concrete from the elements and prevent this further degradation.
So in answer to your question, Councilor, Commissioner, it's our estimated time right now is they were going to do 5 days at $5,000 per day and $1,750 in material, which came to a total cost of $26,750, which was just over our $20,000 ability to do that. Second, we're kind of sole sourcing this because this is the company we felt comfortable with. They did our D-Box project, and we were happy with their performance on that. They did a couple of manholes for us that we're very, very satisfied with their performance on that. So we would ask that you approve this bid waiver, and I would ask to add it to amend that to have a not to exceed of $35,000 in case we need an extra day to do that work.
Now, since it's $26,000, if we did put it out to bid with all the fees, we're not going to save any money.
It's almost 10 grand just to put it out to bid.
Yeah, it's
crazy.
So,
Do we have any issues by going this route and waiving the bid? Because, I don't know, we seem to have had problems before waiving bids process. Are we okay with that?
Yeah, so, well, I mean, it's kind of a
political,
it's a political decision, right?
So, yes.
That's on your end. I'm out of that now.
Yeah, but in this case, like you said, it's $10,000 to put it out.
It's nothing.
So it's $25,000 to $35,000. So if we put it out to bid, we're losing time. And
I know,
it's the bid on top, so it's like doesn't make sense.
So it seems to be someone that wants to challenge it, though.
Yeah,
when
well,
you waive a bid.
And they could have come to the meeting. It was on the agenda. Right?
Yeah.
So the question is really comes around to whether or not waiving the bid is in the best interest of the town.
And it is. It is. Is there any chance this could crack and end up being a lot deeper than we think?
Well, that's why I asked if we do it not to exceed 35, to add us a little bit more playroom on the end if we have to, like everything else, when you open it up, you don't know what you're getting into sometimes.
Do we want to put more money into that then?
Well, that's why I asked. It's $26,750. I asked if you do it not to exceed 35, if you would amend that to not to exceed 35. I think that'll give us a little cushion. And if it's more than that, then we stop and we come back to you guys.
Okay, then what we need is someone to make a motion to amend the motion to include the phrase not to exceed $35,000. Is there a motion to do that?
I make the motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Is there any discussion on that? Roll call vote. Gloria, roll call vote, please.
Oh, sorry.
Commissioner Longton?
Favor.
Commissioner Maselli?
Favor.
Commissioner Gladue?
Favor.
And Commissioner Terry?
Favor.
Thank you very much. The motion is amended. Unless there is further discussion, we'll call for a roll call vote on the amended motion.
Commissioner Terry?
Favor.
Commissioner Longton?
Favor.
Commissioner Maselli?
Favor.
Commissioner Gladue?
Favor.
Motion carries. Thank you, everyone. Okay. Item O is kind of like out of place, really. Motion, discussion, roll call.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Yeah, that's what happens right before the 4th of July, you know.
Right. So we'll move on to item P, reports and referrals from planning and zoning. I have no report. Ron, do you have anything for?
The only referral that we got was the parking lot for Rand Whitney that's coming up on the agenda. And that does not gonna, it's not going to have water or sewer, so it has no effect on.
Okay. Moving on then to section two, the Water Commission. Report from operations, Derek.
This is the Superintendent Albertson. Sampling and is ongoing. This morning they took some more samples to follow the regulations associated with lead and copper. They really, Ron will support this and I'll turn this over to him, but we have a software called Neptune that is associated with the billing. And it's invaluable. Ron's found, well, I'll let him talk, but it's just been incredible. You know, we find leaks, we find all kinds of stuff. But yes, operationally, we are doing fine. There are no identified leaks. We're running about 8% unaccounted for water.
It's well below the average.
Nationally, the average is about 17%. We're a relatively new, tight system, so 8% is exactly where we should be. So we do look at sold water versus purchased water from Groton Utilities, and then we have what's called accounted for but unbilled. And that would be like hydrant flushings or the fire department getting water from the hydrants or something like that. And we account for that. So we have... That goes into the audit, but the audit is key to understand if you're in real trouble, like a couple years ago when we had the break. So we were there, but I'll pass this along to the administrator.
Questions for operations?
You guys already price in what it's going to cost to fill the new tank? Is that figured out what it's going to be?
It's not.
Because that's going to be unbilled water, right? That's going to be unaccounted.
30,000 maybe, something like that, if that.
That's not too bad.
Actually, that's a retail cost, so it's less than that.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we only have to fill it once.
Yeah. Don't
okay.
even say it.
Moving on to item B, report from administration. Ron.
So to expound on Derek's report, our CCR went out, the Consumer Confidence Report, basically... It's a regurgitation of the reports from Groton's water that we have to give to our citizenry that says that we've tested for all these bad things in the water, and the water is good and potable and very, very safe for you to drink. We do find a lot of anomalies in our software system that we pick up, that we're learning every day how to use this software more. We used to only read it quarterly. Now we're reading it monthly for everybody, so we can see... If somebody, you know, it's 2,000 a month, 2,000 a month, 2,000 a month, and then one guy went to 600,000 a month. Whoa, something's wrong with something's wrong on Jerome Avenue. So, you know, we'll send somebody out to the house. We'll try to do another read, and we find a lot of problems that way. And that's working out very well. We also found a section in there that we can put notes in people's accounts. So if we know that we changed the meter on a certain date, or if we do this water policy that you know we have proposed, we can put it right in the notes section so that when we're all, you know, come and gone, they can go back into the notes and see, hey, they had their 10-year freebie on this. You know, they had that. Or if somebody's going to fill their swimming pool, we can put a note in there. You know, it's pretty cool stuff. And now our water operators have access to the software, and they're really looking into it, and they're really into it. And it's almost like a detective game, really. I mean, to find what's going on. And literally, I mean, we found like 6 leaking toilets that people were paying for a ton of water that was just really just going to waste. And to cut that back for them, good for their bill, but also good for the environment and conservation of, you know, of our water system. So other than that, the policy is on the agenda.
Questions for the administrator?
Now, I missed the meeting a while back. Did you guys ever come up with what you were going to do if there was a break, if you were going to make the people pay for all the water they use, or if we were going to give them?
Oh, it's in there.
That's
it's
the
in there?
Agenda.
Yeah, that's our discussion.
Yeah, I don't have that. Yeah. I just have the agenda. So it's actually, what did you guys come up with, and where is it?
Well, we can talk about that.
It's a policy. I emailed it out last 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And
everybody got a copy of it in their email. Any other questions for the administrator?
To you out of my package, if you want a hard copy. Yep. I think that's it.
Thank you, Gloria.
Okay, report from engineers.
Not much to report, you know, the above and beyond what the administrators had indicated about the tank and what needs to be done as far as the testing the equipment with the 110. The mixing, just to add to that, is essentially old water tends to build up this contaminant, total trihalomethanes, and it's basically a chemical that comes about because you have a breakdown product of chlorine, and it adds to some organic matter that's in the water stream. And those are deemed by the EPA as being potentially carcinogenic. So the mixing system is what's one of the many unique things about this tank. One, it's pretty much maintenance free, but the mixing system allows us to reduce that TTHMS buildup by just mixing the tank, the water, and then venting off that potentially hazardous material, chemical. It's only found in aged water. So you'll see the guys sometimes will flush certain pipes in our distribution system. That's related to freshening the water, get rid of the old water. So when we talk about extending pipe and we say, oh, we should extend the water out there, great, let's get the water out there. But we always have that secondary concern is, how long is that water going to sit there, and how old is that water?
It needs to become part of a loop.
A part of a loop, exactly. Use that water. Don't let it just sit out there. But that's everything for engineers.
Questions for engineering?
No.
Okay. Moving on, item D, old business. There is none. Item E, new business. Rick, would you please read the motion?
Let's see if I can see it where I'm at. New business. To consider an act on the Montville Water Supply Dispute Resolution Policy. Town of Montville Water and Sewer Commission hereby resolves to approve the Montville Water Supply Bill Dispute Resolution Policy.
Thank you. That's the motion. Is there a second?
Thanks.
Second.
You're welcome.
Discussion.
So if I may, this resulted from a lot of discussions over the years that we've had problems with people that have had anomalous situations. Again, sometimes you just have a bad toilet. Sometimes, you know, you've left your house for the winter to go down to Florida, and something happens, and, you know, you have a frozen pipe or something like that. So this is giving people a one-time opportunity every 10 years to say, hey, I want to, you know, say, oops, you you know, we fixed the problem, we know what it was, and we'd like to have an adjustment in our bill. And then this outlines a policy how we would determine whether or not it's valid. And if we can't solve it at the staff level, then they have an opportunity to kind of an appeals level to bring it to the commission directly and state their case to the commission as well. And then it goes into how we would determine their bill. I mean, we look at their past four bills and do an average on what they normally do. Again, so we're finding bills where you're looking at somebody's usage and it's, you know, very, very consistent, and all of a sudden just spikes right up, and you know something's going on over there at the house. And I can't tell you, 9 times out of 10, it's a toilet.
Yeah.
It's just a toilet running, and it just blows through water like you can't believe. I confess 100% that I stole this 99% from East Lyme's policy, because I looked at a bunch of them, and this was...
I reinvent the wheel.
No, exactly. This was the best one I found out there. I'm like, let's change the name and change... And we had, you know, we made a lot of adaptations to our own water system, but we think it's pretty fair. We think it's a pretty fair policy. And again, you know, it's a living document. We can always tweak it as need be, but we'll be able to post this on our website, and when people call and complain about a high bill, we had a guy call today about a high bill, and I looked at his usage, and yeah, he had a 22,000 gallon bill for 1 month when normally he's, you know, $2,000, $3,000, you know, in water, and it's all of a sudden it's 22,000. So we're going to go over and look at his meter tomorrow and find out what's going on for him. But
how often does that happen?
I have found more of them than the customers have, frankly. Sometimes they just pay the bill. They don't even think about it. But sometimes, you know, you just find somebody to fill the swimming pool, too. So, you know, we have to investigate. Like I said, it's kind of a detective game sometimes.
For that guy, if his average was like 2,000 to 3,000, and then it goes up to 22,000, how much – I have well water, so I have no idea. How much, like, difference in bill is that?
His really wouldn't be all that much because they get quarterly billing for 40 – They get so much gallonage with their $45, so I'd have to look at that and prorate that. So, but one guy really legitimately went from like 2,000 to 600,000 gallons in 1 month. Yeah. Now I know it's a bad meter. Something crazy is going on there, because, you know, first thing everybody says, well, there's a leak in the ground. There should be water all over the ground, but it went through the meter, and the meter's in the guy's basement. So, it would have to be in the guy's basement or went through his pipe somewhere. So that's how we get into the investigations and whatnot. But sometimes you never know. Maybe you find a hydronic, you know, somebody's growing hydroponic weed in their house or something, and they're using the water. You don't know. I mean, it's been found in other towns. I mean, it happens.
Have you found that?
No, we have not found that yet.
They used to look at
it. I'll let you know if we do.
But like Ron says, it's shocking.
We're all going to get cut in on the deal.
Yeah.
It's shocking, a leaking toilet. I thought, oh, you know, what could it be, a couple gallons a week? No, it's a lot.
I've seen them drain wells.
Right? Yeah.
It's shocking.
I mean, for instance, my house, one day I came home and I'm in a well, but my pump was screaming. Well, my neighbor had hooked up because his well died, and he hooked up to my house and was just running his house off of my house. I mean, so, you know, do you know that that's, I mean, so that could that be happening to somebody who's on our water? You just don't know. Ed Daigle. Shouldn't have said it out loud on the record. But anyway, we think it's a fair policy. We went through it. I went through it with the staff. They understand it. And, you know, we'll, obviously the first thing it says, we're going to do an investigation. We're going to try to figure out what the problem is first. It's not to be punitive. We're trying to give them an opportunity. But then again, we also want it to be once every 10 years. I mean, you can't have the same person who's, say, you're a derelict landlord or something, and you're letting this happen on a continuous basis. You can't let them come in month after month after month and say, you know, somebody broke with the toilet, and it's not my fault. And
well, I appreciate that we've got it in writing now.
I agree.
Yeah.
It was long overdue.
Here it is, right here.
Yes.
Yep. And we'll work with you. I mean, we'll figure it out.
They're only responsible for water that goes through their meter, right?
Exactly.
Right.
So if it breaks between the road.
Well, unless they break in their yard or something, then we, you know. But how do we account
then
for
then
how much water
how much it was? So
exactly.
Yeah.
But then that's a whole other bill. So.
Yeah. Well, they're going to dig it up. But.
Any more questions? Roll call vote, Gloria, please. Roll call for the motion.
Commissioner Longton.
Favor.
Commissioner Maselli.
Favor.
Commissioner Cadoux.
Favor.
Commissioner Terry.
Favor.
Motion carries. Thank you. Moving on to item G, reports from SQUAW. There was no meeting this past month.
I would just like to report that there was some sort of break up there today. That we got a report of some outages up on Evergreen, I think it was.
I didn't hear.
It was kind of late afternoon. I left a message in your office.
Yeah, we tried to follow up on it. We didn't get a call back from SQUAW.
Okay.
I know there's been breaks in Oakdale Heights before, and they were they were pretty responsive.
Yeah. Just wanted to just throw that in the record that we did get a couple calls from that today.
All right. Thank you. Section 3, remarks. Are there any remarks from the public with a 3-minute limit? First call. Second call, remarks from the public. Third and final call, remarks from the public. Hearing none, item B, remarks from the commissioner. Terry.
Dean?
I pretty much said all I had to say tonight.
Thank you, Councilor Terry. Rick?
I did stop at your plant a little while back and wanted to see where you guys would be dumping RVs. And it looked like you just wanted to dump them into a sewer plate in the middle of the...
Yeah, it's in the front.
In the front. Well, the only problem I've seen with the thing is if you do that, an RV wants to take and flush it. Or otherwise, whatever comes in that tank kind of just dries up. So there really wasn't any hose there to take.
We can pull one out of the...
Yeah, there's one right in the garage right there.
And I asked the guy, and he said, yeah, we don't have anything like that. So I'm just saying, if you had a hose for somebody, then you could dump an RV in it. But without it, it wouldn't work too good.
We do it every day. We had two today.
Two today?
Yep.
Yeah, I always flush mine.
We can pull a hose out from the solids loading station. We could get you that.
Yeah.
But it generally works out because we have the RVs come in the afternoon. The sludge trucks have already come. And some of those RVs are huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got to go around and then come in. It's like, oh, my God, you forget. They're massive.
Yeah. If you don't take and flush them, any solids that's on the walls of the tank kind of dry on it. And it's not good. So you always want to flush them.
Yeah, I mean, we're more of a gray water station. We're not really a flushing station.
Yeah.
So.
So that's the only thing I noticed down there. I didn't see much of a place to do it. But that's about it.
Rick?
I'm good, thank you.
I have no comments except to say it's nice to see Rick back. Okay. Item C, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
Moved.
Second.
No, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. We are adjourned at...
Skip this mic.
Is this you?
No.
7:15.
It's not mine. I don't like to push people's things in.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Thank you, everybody, for coming out. Good meeting.
Yeah, good meeting. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thank you.